Welcome to Revere Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
And Don Vandenborg.
Telling it like it is.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny, Tim, and Don will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
Because it doesn't matter what you think or what I think, and it matters even less what Danny thinks.
And now, here's your hosts, Danny, Tim, and Don.
I'm sitting in the studio, and there is nobody with me. It's empty in here, and it's a real tight studio, stock nerds and market lovers. So I have it set up intimately, so I can always converse with Daniel, and he can read my facial expressions. I can read his. It's not an opulent studio. We actually do have an opulent studio out in the front of the office, and I've rejected that studio on a number of occasions because I wanted to tape in this more intimate setting because it produces a better show. I know this for a fact. And Daniel is not here, but I am joined exclusively now. It's just me and him. We'll make it work. By Donald Vandenborg, the portfolio extraordinaire from St. Augustine, Florida, where Danny thinks that cows once roamed. Don, how are you, sir?
Formerly known as Cowford. That's Jacksonville. He's right, but I still don't believe it.
I don't believe it for one bit. But look, stock nerds, a lot of you want me to come on here. And when the market's correcting, I just want to point this out to you. And it's an interesting psychological thought. A lot of you want, when I'm doing the videos, or we do videos 5 nights a week. Don and I just rotate. And we put it up at revereasset.com. And it's all free. Everything we do is free for stock nerds and market lovers. And a lot of you want our tones to match what the market is doing. And I think that's a dangerous precedent. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that about yourself or others, if you find others. Believe me, this is not a very popular sport. But you might think that everybody in the world's investing and actively trading or engaged in the discussion around investing. And it's just not the case. But a lot of you want the tone to match the mood of the markets. The markets are down. It's like, oh, markets are down. Or the markets are bullish. You know, oh, markets are up. And I think that is this is a really good time to examine your mental outlook on the markets. And normally what I'll do is I'll come out with the show. And I like to do topical things. This is the worst medium. I love this medium, podcasting and radio, but this is the worst subject, I think, to do this kind of show on. And the reason why is it can become very dry, very dull. And it's quite frankly, I abhor that. And so what I like to do is I like to give you things that entertain and educate at the same time, and then get you into the tent and then tell you what's happening in the markets. That is a formula that has helped us grow. Don, how much have we grown this year?
Total AUM about 50%.
Exactly. And so that's a little performance driven, and that but you're attracted to how we educate on the videos. The videos are pretty straight laced. It's pretty hard to I have no intention of ever entertaining on those. Those are meant to convey straight laced into your veins information. That's all it is. Straight into your veins, get you what you need to know so you can make informed decisions about what's happening in the markets and in the world.
So they're intravenous. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Straight line right into the vein. This show, look, you can't. I mean, it's like dating. Some of you, unfortunately, some of you are not romantics. Some of you want to jump right through to, are we sleeping together? And have I, and some of you, on the other hand, are like, hey, let me take you on the first date to meet my mom. neither of those are probably a good approach. You need to warm up. You need to have some kind of interlude, some kind of foreplay. And like I have this story, but the markets, they beg some attention this week. And always we discuss the markets from a serious point of view. But I think we can also enjoy the banter that is you and I. And so I want to alert stock nerds and market lovers to, especially this time of year coming up, one of the most awkward things that happens to me and probably to you, and that is Donald. Don doesn't know what I'm about to say, but it's tipping at the coffee counter. Yeah, right? Like, it's a legitimate issue, stock nerds. Like, there comes a point where you go to, if it's an independent coffee shop, or gosh, it's anywhere now. I think Panera Bread has it. And most establishments have this, where you're offered the opportunity to provide a tip. No longer is it just the cup or the jar in front of the register. If you pay by debit card or plastic, I rarely carry cash anymore. They swing the little device around, and then you can choose no tip. You can choose no tip, or you can choose an amount of tip.
That's pressure.
Well, there's a whole write-up about this. I read several newspapers a day, and there's a whole write-up in one of the newspapers I read about this very issue, about how awkward it's become. And now what you have is these clerks that, you know, the person that's checking you out, they're actually, they flip the screen around, and then they're actually turning their backs or say, hey, no pressure here. And they say, whatever you want to do is fine. Which makes it difficult, because if you're a regular at like an independent coffee shop, I mean, every coffee is already pretty pricey, right? Price is right. Every coffee's a little bit spendy. And then you want to tip on top of that. And and if you're trying to become a regular someplace because you like the coffee, it's the pressure that, well, this guy never tips. I mean, and then it sinks into your head. Are you going to get served worse or less level of service if they know that you're not the tipper? I'm telling you, tipping is a high pressure sport. And I don't know what to do, because I'll tip extraordinarily, like for my haircuts, I tip extraordinarily well. Because you keep that person wanting to take your appointment. I don't know where to draw the line though, Don, because I get a cheesesteak every Friday. I have a cheesesteak habit on Fridays, and I'll go get a cheesesteak.
Oh.
Right? Oh, speaking of cheesesteaks, stock nerds, the number 43 at Jersey Mike's. Now, listen, if I was in a place that had independent sandwich shops serving cheesesteaks around me, I would probably not frequent a Jersey Mike's, but I'm not that fortunate like some of you are. And I'm very jealous of you, because I grew up in the Northeast where this exists. And so I got Jersey Mike's. And
Jersey Mike's are the best cheesesteaks I've found in this area too, North Florida. So
yeah.
Jersey Mike, you got something going on.
Yeah.
And congratulations. So,
well, but I found that it's shop dependent. Like, there's a Jersey Mike's out in Rockwall, Texas.
That's right. We've had this conversation.
Yeah, not
before.
So good.
Yeah.
But the Jersey Mike's by Preston and Richardson, or Coit and Richardson, fantastic. And so that's out here in Dallas, folks. And so the number 43 Chipotle, it's like a Chipotle cheesesteak. It is fantastic. And so, but when I swipe my card, there's always, do you want a tip for the sandwich? Why are you asking? Right? Like if you want to pay your workers more, I'm all for doing that. Just charge me more. But now I've got the pressure to tip. And a lot of you out there are probably screaming at me going, yeah, but if you got really good service, Tim, like, when did service become, I mean, isn't service standard?
How do you know if the service is good? You haven't eaten it yet.
Well, I mean, the difference between service and being able to cook well, right? I think. Hold on a second while I try to cough. Still no cough button here. Longest running joke we've got going. So, yeah, like, where is the, like, at what level of service, like, what would they have to do at Starbucks to make me want to tip? Boy, I'm probably coming off poorly here, because I feel like I'm a really good tipper, but there's certain situations where I'm like, do I need to tip for somebody who just reached into the little glass case and got me a muffin?
I think you should start carrying cash again because too much pressure on yourself.
That's even more pressure. I think that's even more pressure because when you get your change, they're looking at you like, throw it in. I'm like, okay, throw it in. You got me. Like you got me. I'm throwing all my money.
Yeah, but you can hold the quarter between your thumb and forefinger and drop the dime and the two pennies in there, Tim, and kind of throw them off.
Yeah, I just think this whole conversation, I think a lot of people feel the way I do. Like, they're just awkward about
it. I wonder how many people have changed the station at this point.
They haven't changed it. No. See, Don, I think I've illuminated an issue. I haven't told them what we're going to talk about today. I'll tell you what, I'll let you start. I was going to give you some topics here. I'll give you some topics, but it's awkward, and I think there's a lot of people that feel like me. The last time we talked about a consumer issue, this is a consumer. I file this under consumer issues. When I highlighted Danny was really fired up at AT&T. We got a ton of letters from people that are really upset at AT&T. So, stock nerds, Tim at revereasset.com, Dan at revereasset.com, and Don at revereasset.com is how you get a hold of us. I'm curious, like, what do you do? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should be tipping for the mic. I just feel like prices are high for the coffee, and I don't get it. I just drink coffee black too. And so, I mean, am I tipping for black coffee? I don't get specialty drinks. I just buy black coffee. I mean, my cheesesteak is part of every other sandwich. When did tipping become like this? It just evolved, right? Like, is there some point in time where tipping became this? I don't know. And as you get closer to the holiday, like, I tip the person that brings me the newspapers every morning. I always make sure I put an envelope out there during the holiday season because, man, that guy comes at 4:30, and I love that. That I'll tip for, but I don't know. I don't think I'm in the minority. I think this is an issue plaguing stock nerds, Don, but I don't think...
Oh, these brutal first world problems that we're dealing with.
Okay, fair enough. So... I tell you what, you're going to think of me next time you get asked for a tip. You're going to think of it going, what do I do? What do you do? So, Don wants to talk markets because Don does not like the banter. And I don't have my banter partner here, Danny, although Danny called earlier and
Danny can banter. He can banter.
Danny is fantastic with the banter. And not only that, Danny called us earlier. We had our normal call. Danny hasn't lost a step. He's God almighty. I wish I could tell you what Danny's, I should tell him. Should I tell him, Don?
It would be unfair not to tell him.
Right. Yeah. So Danny is competitive and I don't know if Danny knows that he is competitive. So there's two things I'm telling
you. He knows.
Does he know? Okay. So there's two things.
Oh, he knows.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't think he knows, but Don says he does. So I'm going to go with Don on this. There's two things to the reason why I want to tell this story. The first one is Danny said he's going to listen to the show as soon as it gets posted. And I said, there's no effing way you're doing that, Danny. So that's the first thing. Danny will text the moment he starts hearing the story. And that'll be the verification. We've put a white elephant into the show. And so nobody tell Danny, by the way. Nobody email Danny. Nobody call Danny. Don't let him know to tune in and text Tim and say, hey, they're talking about you. You need to listen. Don't give him a heads up. That's the first thing. Second thing is, Don, I'll let you tell the story about it's Danny and driving, man. And it's hilarious.
I have no firsthand experience about being in the car with Danny, but I will take your word for it.
Yeah.
Danny said, obviously, you know, when he had so much to do before, he couldn't call us in. He called us and he said, I can only talk for a minute. So Tim says, why don't you call sooner? He said, I was busy. I was checking out of the hotel. And so, of course, we had a whole conversation about how difficult it is to check out of a hotel, which it isn't. So I can't imagine what Danny was going through trying to check out of the hotel. And that led into him listening to it while he was driving. And, he talked about driving over here, and he said, well, why did you call when you were driving? Oh, I don't talk while I'm driving. Oh, but Dan, you're such a good driver, something like that. So why didn't you let AK drive? And he said, she's not bad, but of course I'm better. She's okay. I'm better, but it was like a compound sentence. He had to get in that he's a better driver than his wife.
Yeah, he's competitive with everything. And so if you want to email Danny this weekend, tell him that you're a better driver than he is. That would be funny if there were 1,000 emails in his inbox just saying, hey, Danny, I'm a better driver than you are. That would happen.
Don't those big longhorns on the front of his vehicle block his vision at all?
Well, if it's Yosemite Dan mud flaps in the back and horns in the front. That is the mobile that Daniel rides around in. So anyway, we'll see if Danny gets
our nation.
See if Danny gets a hold of me. So Stockton's, the market's difficult, right? And there's a number of things that we've been doing over the course of October to try to limit the drawdown and minimize the risk. And we highlighted a number of these things in a client letter. So if you're a client, and as Don noted, we're growing tremendously. If you're a client and you haven't seen the letter yet, please, please, please check your inbox. If for some reason it would have mistakenly gone to a spam folder, check there. If you haven't received it, just email me, Tim at RevereAsset.com. That'd be fine. Hey, Don, stall for me right now. I'm having like a technical issue. Give me 1 second.
So one of the things that we've been doing, obviously, is kicking in the fact that we invest over three time frames. You hear Tim talk a lot about the 21 EMA, and then that's our short-term indicator, the 50 simple moving average, which is our intermediate-term indicator, and then the 200-day moving average, which is the long-term indicator, and I feature these three when I update the trend gauge on the videos when I do them. So that's one way of getting in and getting back out of the market is staying in sync across the major indexes, or you could apply it to a sector and see where is the sector, where is this index across these three time frames. Because if you're just a long-term investor, then a lot of this is just noise to you.
Yeah.
But we put some stats in the client letter, and I reiterated the stats in the Wednesday night video about how important the 200-day moving average is. Really being a line in the sand as far as owning something. If you're under a downtrending 200-day moving average, you're playing with fire.
Yeah, and so...
And unless there's significant horizontal support while you're under there, you're best not owning something.
So there's a lot in the client letter to help our clients understand what we're doing and what the overall market is doing. But this is... There's a lot of people that are just agnostic. We have a ton of, the show grows leaps and bounds every week. And so a lot of you, of course, aren't clients. And so, but a lot of you, clients or not, are inundated every week with the marketing, whether you're watching football or watching the news, of the Fidelities, the big brokerage houses. And they constantly want you in the markets. And you've heard a lot about passive investing. And passive investing means you're just, quote unquote, dollar cost averaging. Or you're buying the indexes, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Dow, or the small caps, the Russell. And you need to understand right now is this is a really fine time to talk about delineation between passive investing and what we're doing here. And I'm reminded of the joke as I was thinking about today's show, that there's an old joke that goes, analysts, people that upgrade, downgrade stocks, ask questions on earnings calls. Analysts, you don't need them in a good market, a bull market, and you don't want them in a bear market or a correction. And the thought is that, in a bull market, everything, 70-80% of stocks are going higher. There's a good chance you're going to pick one that's going higher. So you don't really need an analyst. And then in a correction or a bear market, most analysts don't have sell ratings on anything. So you certainly don't want the analyst helping you in a downtrend. It's kind of the same thing with passive investors or people that only claim to be long-term buy and hold, which I refer to as buy and die type investors, or the it'll come back crowd. Well, in a bull market, that's of course, everything's going higher. It's right now where they're getting crushed. And crushed is relative. I mean, it depends upon your time frame. I get it. But how do big drawbacks, drawdowns, corrections, I don't think we're starting the bear market, but how do they all begin? They begin in things that just look like this. And you can argue till you're blue in the face that we're not headed in XYZ direction, but you won't really know till hindsight kicks in and you can look backwards. So the only way to safely gauge your wealth, safely preserve your wealth and be able to operate in the future is to corduroys your portfolio, meaning you've got to be willing to sell. And sometimes that means taking some small losses. Sometimes that means taking nice gains and wrapping them up, even though they're gains. But you've got to be willing to take some action. And passive is just that. It's passive, meaning it's not they're not going to do anything in this market. If you were scheduled to buy and the market's going to take a 4% drawdown, well, you're buying anyway. Too bad, so sad. There's no strategery. There's no tacticalness. There's nothing to it. It takes little talent. It takes not even knowing the markets. And so passive investors right now are extremely defensive. And if you have the mindset that it'll come back all the time, it's going to be those one, they're not one in a lifetime, but they're one every 7 to 10 year type events that really put a hamper on your wealth. And before you say, well, that's only if you sell, you have to understand that the market is not on your time. You are on the market's time. So if you need that money, do you have X years, whatever they are, for things to come back? And there's no guarantee in God's green earth that the stocks that you own will in fact come back. And there's case after case of that. But I want to just point out some things to you about how fast things fall. You know this, but you rarely will ever put exact numbers to things. And so if I just tell you from the beginning of October, from October 1st, just picking the first of the month, and I'm not even cherry picking stocks, just picking some of the most popular stocks you will ask us about. And I called Don up and said, hey, what are some, give me a random basket of stocks. And let me just illustrate, and I don't want to make it boring, but let me just illustrate how far some of these stocks have fallen. So Google from October 1st till about Friday midday, or November, it'd be November 2nd midday, it's down almost 18%. Wayfair, in an expanding economy, right, is down 40%. Home Depot is down almost 28%. Grubhub is down over 30%. Netflix is down almost 17%. Amazon is down almost 18%. Apple, after the big drop, is down from October 1st over 10%. How about GE? GE is down 31%. How about the indices? SPX, down 8% from their peak, down from the lows, excuse me, October 1st to the lows of this correction, down over 11%. The NASDAQ is from October 1st through Friday, midday, is down about 10.3% to the lows, 14.62%. So if we go back to retrace the lows, the NASDAQ's going to be down about 15% from October 1st to whenever we get back to those lows. The Russell down about 10%. Same thing from 10.1 to the lows of this correction, it's almost 15%. The Dow, which by the way is tops on the watch list for both Don and I in terms of indices to buy and how to ease back into the markets when the time is right, which we'll talk about here in a moment or two, down just only 6% and about 10% to the lows. How about Spotify? I've owned Spotify, but I sold it much, much higher, down 25%. Stamps.com, down 23%. Before you laugh at stamps.com, STMP, go look at the chart long term. OLED makes screens. You might think of them as screens for mobile devices, down almost 25%. All of that, by the way, is on the back of Apple. How about WWE? Down almost 30%. Marijuana, MJ, down almost 24%. Tilray, down almost 50%, 46.18%. CGC down 30%. EA Sports, they're playing video games, right? Down over 24%. Splunk down almost 18%. That's Splunk is protection for your computer networks. Hack against protection. Pure Storage down 22%. So then you get to the passive crowd, the 60-40 crowd, the pie chart crowd, the crowd that says you need 60% stocks, 30% bonds, and another 10% maybe in gold or emerging markets or some kind of mix of that. Well, what have bonds have done during that same period? They're down 3.94% as measured by TLT. For the year, bonds are down over 10.5%. Bonds, that defensive part of your portfolio. So I want you to think about this. The indices are bordering on flat to down for the year. And you're a pie chartist, your person that is a passive investor that has sold you on the idea that everything will always come back, your portfolio is getting double hammered because the thing he told you would rally in times of tumult in the markets is doing exactly the opposite, because they don't understand that in a rising rate environment, bonds are the last thing you'd want to own. But you're not being told that. Well, what about precious metals, Tim? Surely precious metals have gone up during this corrective period in the markets. And they have. GLD, gold is measured by GLD, is up 4.38%. Fantastic, right? But for the year, it's down 6.86. So when did you get in? And so the passive crowd is in real trouble here, in my estimation, because the passive crowd has no game plan. If the market falls further, and you'd have to listen to the last couple of podcasts to get exactly where all of this is headed, but we talked about the Fed and the Fed's influence on the markets right now and why the Fed is driving this correction. But if the Fed has its way and it sticks to the party line of a rate increase in December, which is all but certain, and a rate and three more increases in 2019, that the bonds are going to further get hurt, and your equities most likely go into steep corrective territory. And those passive investors, they're in trouble. So if you, and it's something to think about, it's not being an alarmist or trying to be provocative for the sake of provocation. It's absolutely trying to alert you that there's a chance that markets don't come back, that markets don't reach the old highs, that maybe there isn't going to be that Christmas Santa Claus rally. And if that comes true, then how are you prepared for it? Are you just going to stand there and take it? And therein lies the trouble right now with passive investing, and you're going to see the gauntlet of these passive type investors throwing out a bunch of stats, and I'm telling you what, they mean nothing. What do you think, Don?
They won't mention the stats that we included in our client letter about how 22 of the worst 25 days in the S&P 500 happened when you're under the 200-day moving average. So getting out of the way early, if you're going to panic, panic early. And use the 200-day moving average for that. The stats just back up that the markets are more risky when you're under the 200-day moving average. And the only major index that's still holding on by the skin of its teeth is the Dow Jones Industrial Average, sitting right on the 200-day moving average as we take this. But mid-caps, small-caps, NASDAQ 100, and S&P 500 all under the 200-day moving average, which has also rolled over, which means the trend, long-term trend, is down. 200-day moving average, if you're not familiar with it, is just an average of the last 200 closes in any investment vehicle divided by 200, and it smooths out the trend. And when the trend rolls over, pay attention to it.
And look, you're going to get sucked in by, there's going to be, when you're in these corrective periods, there's these tenacious rallies. And they oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes they will lead to new uptrending phases. But when we're under the 200-day, Friday is a great example. Markets looked like they wanted to surge higher. And it was really difficult on the backs of what took place in Apple. And then when the air got deflated out of the balloon about Trump and China. And the easiest way to not get caught up in it is to not participate in it. So if the markets are flattish, they can go down another 10-15% from here easy and still recover in December. If that's what you're thinking, well, Tim, we've got this Santa Claus rally, and you're going to tell me, Tim, the jobs report, 250,000 jobs created, and oh, by the way, wages went up the most since April of 2009. And I get it. I get it. Those are all good metrics, right? But you have to think in terms of how the Fed's thinking. And by the way, not to saying I agree with them. I mean, can we let workers keep some more money in their pockets before we price them out of the housing market by raising rates and making money cost more? We had an entire, I implore you to go back and listen to this show and the last two shows prior to this. They're well worth your time. if you haven't been keeping up. But if the Fed's going to continue to tighten, it's not going to be good for the consumer. And we're a service-driven and consumer-based economy. You have to understand that China is trying to become what we are. That's the struggle China's having. China's trying to become trying to come out of the manufacturing realm of their economy. They don't want to be manufacturers. They want to be consumers like we are. They aspire to be us, which is interesting because we're trying to aspire to get more manufacturing back here. But
and they all want to drive as well as Danny.
Yes, I got even money that Danny's not going to listen to this, and I will not get a text at all from Daniel. But it gets really dry telling you, hey, stock nerds, we're in a correction. You want to limit your risk out there. And then you face this onslaught. Listen, if you espouse, you know, if you are engaged with our line of thinking, you espouse what we think. That does, you know, and that doesn't mean we're not just one big echo chamber. And when you throw out, you know, when a passive investor throws up a line, you know, the S&P and says, well, you see, it's going from the lower left to the upper right. You got to understand that there's been mergers. It's not the same stocks in there. Stocks get taken out. So they're groomed. Those indices are groomed. You need the illusion that they always come back. They kick out the laggards. It's not just mergers and acquisitions that take out stocks from indices. They groom the laggards out. They kick them out. Those things are actively invested indices, man. You think they're passive, and they're the S&P, the committee that makes up the Dow, the small caps, and they're in there grooming those. You just don't ever get told that. And then the other thing is you'll be told, Don, what are the stats? And I always goof them up. That the biggest, if you ever leave the market, you'll miss the biggest days. Can you summarize that thought? Because I always butcher it.
Yeah, you know, I don't actually know that one off the top of my head. As far as the bullish days go, I just know, because it's never mentioned, what the negative stat is. That's 22 out of 25 and 83 out of 100 since 1960 have occurred under the 200-day moving average. That being worst days, not best days.
Yeah, and then what the passive crowd will tell you that is, if you leave the market, you'll miss some of the biggest up days ever. But those big up days come in the teeth of bear markets. That's the problem. You've already suffered a 20% drawdown on your money, and you're going to miss a 3% up day. Okay, just so it can fade back again. And so, look, right now, Don and I, in the five portfolios that we run, have an abundance of cash. An abundance. If you want to know our exact positioning, it's just email Tim at Revere Asset, Don at Revere Asset. You can email Danny, Dan at Revere Asset. More than happy to talk about it. But the amount of cash we have is going to allow us to take advantage of a market that follows through, a market that actually proves that it has the chance to go higher. What you just had this week is a market that went up for 3 days in a row, and then on the fourth day, the most pivotal day of a fledgling rally, has given it up. And granted, it hasn't gone to the lows, but it's not today. Friday is not productive. It's not productive right now.
Friday was a brutal suck you in day too, because if you saw what happened after the markets closed, all you heard about was Apple's disappointing guidance and down 7% after hours, and that really hit the Nasdaq because of the waiting, but also hit the Dow and the S&P. Then by the early evening and then overnight, some news leaked out that Trump said, hey, let's get a deal on with China, and the index is all gapped up at the open, pulled back a little bit as we got closer to the open, but then took off to the upside, and that would have been just the opportunity to suck you in. The QQQ ran right up into the declining 200-day moving average and failed, and Apple came strong out of the gate trying to reclaim its loss, but then rolled over by 10 o'clock also.
So this kind of market action, and we've talked about this briefly, has led to a number of things taking place. And so the biggest one is, you've heard Danny try to limit it. The fiduciary rule got challenged and defeated this year in Congress, meaning there's no fiduciary rule. There's no standards that people who talk to you about investments or are your advisors have to be your fiduciary. And that, it's really sad. We've always been fiduciaries at Revere Asset. We've never been anything but as independent advisors here. So with the with that law's demise, what's going on right now? It's one of the biggest annuity selling years on record, and it's a problem because right now with this market volatility, it's annuity selling season, and they always come out of the woodwork. You know, lights go off and the cockroaches come out, and what they're doing is they're preying on people who don't like volatility. And that's because they're preying on people who don't have a sell discipline. They don't have an ability to get out of the markets or back into the markets. They're the passive investors. They're preying on passive investors. The annuity business, I believe, exists because passive investing exists. And you can really tie the two together. If you had an ability to get out of the market, preserve your wealth, and then be able to scale back into the markets when the market has its most opportunity to go higher, wouldn't you want somebody with that skill set working for you? Or if you had it yourself, and a number of you do, stock nerds, I know. You would want to do that. But when you're a passive investor, you get preyed upon. You're passive. I mean, the word passive is in, it's in the title, meaning they know the passive is weak. There's no defense. It's passive. When football, everyone seems to know football, you go into a prevent defense, pass prevent defense. What does that mean? It means we prevent them from going down into the end zone, but we're giving up everything in between. It doesn't always work. Oftentimes the prevent defense fails. Well, right now, the people that are passive investors, you are susceptible to marketing about volatility. And they know this, man. These salespeople are good. They know this. And so right now, LPL and Athene Holdings are two of the biggest players out there doing this. At LPL Financial, I'm reading right from it. By the way, if you ever want my sources, just email me, tim@revereasset.com. This annuity article is fascinating and how people are being taken advantage of. And you're getting your money tied up. And if you have an annuity and you're getting twisted, which is an annuity term for, it's illegal, by the way, or you're told to get out of a different annuity, you're paying exorbitant fees for your own money. It's ridiculous. So at LPL Financial, one of the nation's largest networks of independent brokers, commission revenue from both fixed and variable annuities rose 17%. Brokers at LPL and other firms earn commissions on annuities, and they sell them from such companies as Athene. That's the thing, stock nerds. You're being preyed upon if you're a stock nerd. This isn't you. It's your loved ones. It's your brothers, sisters, husbands, fathers, mothers. It's the people you care most about that are being preyed upon. Most people are passive investors because they've been told that's the only way possible. But if you just delved a little bit, there's an absolute better way to do this. And so what happens when volatility hits? Annuity salespeople hit the road, they start advertising more, and they are making a tremendous amount of money on these products off of your backs, and they're tying up that money. And if you want it back sooner than the tie-up, you need to pay a steep penalty because the person that sold it to you isn't going to give up their commission. Danny has been really good about helping people try to get out of these, and there have been some real egregious ones sold, and Danny has helped a couple people out of them. If you find yourself in a bad annuity situation or have a loved one in a bad annuity situation, I implore you to call Danny. Just dial 855-REAL-WEALTH and explain the situation. There's a good chance Danny can help you. If he can, he'll be honest. We don't charge anything for it. We just hate annuities and the people that sell them and the system that's set up to take advantage of people that buy them. And so we try to do our best to help people out of them whenever possible. What else you got, Don?
The commissions are massive in most cases on annuities. And that comes directly out of your pocket. They try to gloss over it, not mention that to you. But that's why they can afford to give you those Ruth's Chris dinners if you go and listen to the pitch.
Yeah, that's what's amazing to me, that that still works, that people are hosting these dinners. Just don't go. There's nothing worth that dinner. Absolutely nothing. It's like they used to, it's like they say, if you're walking the car lot, you're buying a car. There's a reason why you're there, and a good salesperson will not let you go. You'll buy a car. They'll find you the reason you're looking for to say yes to a car deal. So, anyway, as we stock nerds, there's not much to cover right now, except that we're in a correction and it's easy to get faked out. And what I want Don to do is just cover real briefly what we're basically looking for here at Revere, to what makes us get bullish. I've talked about it on the videos. I know Don has talked about it on the videos, but a lot of you, just in case you're not watching the videos, just Don, what gets us back in? Give him some criteria to look for, and then we'll give him what's kind of on our watch list heading into the next week.
We talked about the 200-day moving average, something that might happen before, might happen after the 200-day moving average, is something that is a time-tested part of the methodology of William O'Neill. You know, we're huge William O'Neill fans. It's called a follow-through day. I think that, let's take the words follow-through. It means that something happened, and then follow-through is building on what happened. In this case, what would have happened is the market bottomed. So let's call the first day up off the bottom day one. Now, the strongest rallies historically have taken place with something called a follow-through day that happens from day four through day seven of a rally off the bottom. Today, Friday, is day four. And what you're looking for is one of the major indexes up 1.25 or better percent on significantly huger volume than the prior day, and preferably above normal volume. And that should coincide with some leading stocks breaking out of bases or blasting off of support levels on big volume. And what that's a sign of is that the first 1, 2, or 3 days are very, it's very common that all you get is short covering rallies there. Once the short covering is out of the way, then you want to look for money coming back into the market. And that's the purpose of this follow through days 4 through 7. Like I said, Friday's day four. We're not going to get it today. That's unless something miraculously happens in the last 45 minutes as we're taping this. But certainly not going to happen, especially with Apple being down and because of the weight that has on the indexes. So we'll start to be on the lookout for it next week. I will talk about my latest 21 over 21 list on the Friday night video, so be sure and listen to check that out. There are some stocks that are looking pretty good. There are some possible emerging leaders, but we know historically when you're under the 200-day moving average, you really want to play it light, stay away. So that's what we're doing. But we are on the lookout, and we've got our list ready. Tim, we've had conversations over the last couple of days. We both have a set of stocks at the top of our watch list, and we're ready to roll if the market looks like it wants to participate to the upside.
Okay. So listen, stock nerds, I know it's a short show, but I just can't gloss over the fact that the market is corrective right now. And will it change? Yeah, it'll eventually change. The market always does, as I contradict myself a little bit. The market will have an uptrending phase. It's just not now. And holding on to stocks, I can't begin to emphasize this enough. Holding on to stocks that have tremendous losses might seem like a good idea, but it can always, I'm telling you, the mental capital it takes, it can always come back. And in the client letter, we talk about how we reduce risk, how we start with risk in mind, and how you should approach, if this is a cleansing corrective part of the market, and you're looking to start fresh with a plan, our client letter is a really good place to find it. And if you want it, just email dan@revereasset.com. He'll be more than happy to share that letter with anyone, I think. Just email him, dan@revereasset.com. So you got to understand, stock nerds, that everything in this business, most everything in this business, is marketing. And that whole line where they start out with, we're going to help you reach your goals. Right now, your goals, when you see a commercial that says, we're going to help you achieve your goals, those are the most dangerous words possible, because they won't take you out of the market at the most critical time, because they're going to tell you that, well, if you change your plan, you're not going to achieve your goals. Your goal, your one goal in corrective environments, is to preserve your wealth. It's not to grow it. And you need to understand that. And just because I said that there's going to be an uptrending phase of the market, it doesn't mean that uptrending phase is going to include your stocks. And if you say, well, Tim, I only invest in ETFs, it doesn't mean it's going to include your sector or subgroup of stocks. There's a big rotation going on. And if you don't have somebody helping you that understands how stocks and markets work, not that they talk around them, not that they talk down to them, not that they tell you markets always come back, that they actually understand rotation and institutional money flow and how to sell, then you're going to be lost. And when the next 20 or 25 or 30% correction, I read those numbers to you for a reason. When a big correction actually does come your way, you're going to be doubly hosed. Markets are, the indices are genuinely, are just flat. We'll just call them flat to slightly lower for the year. And just in a month, look at how many of these stocks have given up the ghost. I mean, WWE, MJ, Tilray, CGC, EA, Splunk, PTSG. It'll get a hell of a lot worse. Don't be afraid to sell. You can always get back in. So, Don, with that, what do you have for the heading into next week, real quick?
I talked about the follow through day. I talked about the 200-day moving average. Let's throw out a couple stocks that are acting pretty well. And most of the things that I'm seeing holding up well are some specialty retail. Tractor Supply Company had a great reaction on earnings and is putting a flag in right now. This is one that's at the top of my list. Another one that I owned recently and got stopped out of, but it's coming back up the right side and doesn't have earnings until early December, is Five Below, ticker symbol FIVE. So those are two retailers near the top of my watch list.
Okay. I'm going to just give one stock out. Don and I talked about it in a pretty extensive list yesterday, but I think the one that's really holding up for me that I feel good about talking about is Euronet, and that's EEFT. And there's a lot of stocks in Euronet. Is part of it's part of the finance group, and that includes things like Visa and MasterCard. And I still like Visa here tremendously. But if I was looking at something new, something that's holding the 8 and the 21, it's Euronet. That's EEFT. And a lot of the stocks that are in the IPAY ETF, they are worth looking at and maybe putting on a watch list. So with that, any parting words, Don?
No, I think that's going to be a wrap.
All right. With that, stock nerds and market lovers, we love you. If you have any questions, want a deeper list, want Don's 21 over 21 list, he'd be more than happy to discuss it with you. Don at revereasset.com, Dan at revereasset.com, or Tim at revereasset.com, or just call us at 855-REALWEALTH. And with that, we'll see you next week on Your Money.